we left off in the previous year when the machlekes between the Rosh and the Ran, how to resolve the apparent contradiction, is one permitted to be mabur b'shiurim or not? If you have something which you're permitted to do, to start out a certain amount to do, can I add on a little bit more as long as I'm within the same path? So we saw a difference between a sugi that appears in concerning Yom Tov and a sugi that appears concerning Chol HaShabbos. When it came to cooking on Yom Tov, it was Heter Gomer. When it came to cooking on Shabbos for the Chol HaShesh B'Sakana, so the Gemara says that it's also. So how do we explain this distinction? So the Rashba said that the distinction is only on a level of the Rabbanon. The Min HaTorah, everything is okay. Reb Shurin is perfectly okay in both cases. But the Rabbanon doesn't look right, doesn't look nice. So therefore, they were more machmer in Shabbos, which is obviously more serious Aveira, than in cooking on Yom Tov. And the Ran said, no, that there's a conceptual difference, a basic fundamental difference, between the permissibility of cooking on Yom Tov and the permissibility of cooking on Shabbos for a chayla. Cooking on Yom Tov is what we call a hutra. It's hetter gomer, it's not a rishaya, not an aveira, not an issur, nothing. So once the original maisa is mutter, then mamela, everything that goes along with that maisa is also mutter. In contrast to cooking on Shabbos for a chayla, cooking on Shabbos for a chayla is what we call dechuya. The basic issur is there. It's called an act of chilul Shabbos. Albeit the Torah says you can do it, but it's still labeled as an act of Chilul Shabbos, and therefore only that act itself is mutter, is dechuya, so to speak, and anything past that point is going to remain be isura. So we said at the end of the shiur on Wednesday that the Ran's teretz is only as good as those two premises are. He's assuming that Echol Nefesh on Yom Tov is Hutra. We had a little bit of a question about that, but we're going to give in to the Ran on that one, but we're going to deal with the Ran with a little bit more about the second half of the Ran, the second premise of the Ran, that Pikuach Nefesh is the Chuya, is that really true? This is a very, very real Shaila, very important, both conceptual and practical Shaila. When we say that Pikuach Nefesh is the override Shabbos, is that the Torah is the Chuya, that it's called an act of Chil Shabbos, albeit you can do it, but it's still called an act of the Chuya, an act of Chil Shabbos? Or do I say, no, it's Hutra, it's Tuesday, it's not Shabbos today, it's Tuesday, vis-a-vis Chola. So this question that the Ran is taking an important stand on, the Ran is assuming that Pikuach Nefesh is the Chuya, so this is most probably not agreed upon by Ovi Shonim. First and foremost, by the Rosh. Take a look at the next in the Mamakomos. So the Rosh in the back of the first page of the Mamakomos. The Rosh in Masechet Yuma, in Perachas Yemin Yedal, quotes a Shaila that was presented originally to the Ravid, and all the Rishonim got into the discussion. Everyone had what to say about this fascinating Shaila. Sholos HaRavid Zal. Cholish Yesh Bei Sakana Im Lo Yochel Basar. If you have a person whose life is in danger, and the doctors come and say, he's got to eat meat. Halavai, that would be usually the other way around. The doctors tell him to stop eating meat. He's got to eat meat. And he's got to eat meat right away. He can't wait until the Shabbos, he's got to eat meat. And the problem is, we don't have any meat in front of us. But we do have some, it's just not kosher. So we have two options. We've got to get a meat in the next 24 hours. So one option is to take some tray for meat, give them the sign of Vela. Or the other option is to go find the sheikhet, to shecht them an animal, and to, in effect, shecht on Shabbos and give them kosher meat. So you're going to violate one issur d'oraita. No question you're going to violate a Torah prohibition. The question is, are we going to opt to violate eating treif, we're going to opt to violate Chil Shabbos. So the Gemara tells us that whenever we Mechal Shabbos, or whenever we eat a Yom Kippur, whenever we eat treif, whenever we do something for Chol, we have a rule called Mechil Rosu HaKal HaKal Kodem. We always try to minimize the issue if at all possible. So let's say, for example, if you have a Chol and the doctor says he has to eat, and there are two non-kosher foods in front of us, a regular Tuesday, not on Shabbos. It's Tuesday morning, the doctor says he must eat right away, and we have two treif foods in front of us. One is nevela, and one is chaylev. Nevela is an animal that wasn't shechted, and chaylev means it comes from a kosher, from a shechted animal, but it's a prohibited fat of the animal. So the Gemara says that you give him the nevela, you don't give him the chaylev. Why is that? Because nevela is only a lav, it's a lower level prohibition. Chaylev is a kares, it's a higher level prohibition. So you always try to minimize the issue when you can. So the question that was presented to the rabbi was, which of the two is minimized prohibition? Is it better to violate kashrus? Is it better to violate Shabbos? So if you would have asked me, I would have said, it's a no-brainer what the answer is. Of course Shabbos is more serious. Shabbos is an issur koros, an issur skila. Eating the vela, we're not advocating eating non-kosher, but it's only a lav, it's only malchus. So lechora, one should rather eat the non-kosher rather than shechti on Shabbos. That's what I would have said. So different Rishonim weighing in on this topic as to why perhaps that psak is not correct. So the reason that interests us is Rabbeinu Meir Heshe B'tshuva al Zeh. So Rabbeinu Meir was Maram Rutenberg, was the Rush's Rebbe. So the Rush quotes that his Rebbe, Rabbeinu Meir, had the following suggestion, that we should permit the shechting on Shabbos rather than the eating of the treif. Why is that? Says the Maram Rutenberg, what seems to be a very strange comparison. He says, well, we have the shal every yontif. What should we do on yontif? Should we shecht on yontif? Or should we not shecht on yontif? So he says, the shocht on yontif. We all know that we shecht on yontif. The ika asei velo seasei be isa malacha. Even though shechita is a malacha, which would normally have been a violation of a lav, would have been a violation of a mitzvah asei, of resting on yontif. So there are so many things, again, so many things which are pointing in the direction of don't shecht on yontif. Either the guy's hungry, or Michael Neveil, they be alav. He says, what's the big deal? He said, you can eat treif. This is Maram Rutenberg's playing devil's advocate. The guy comes home from shul yontif afternoon. He wants to have a piece of meat for simple yontif. So he has two choices. Eat shecht or eat treif. He can knock on his non-Jewish neighbor's door. And they ask for a piece of treif for meat. So comes Maram Rutenberg, lo shemato devas emayolam. We never do that. You always opt to shecht. So what do you see from here? You see that it's okay to shecht, even though the shechting involves a quote-unquote malacha. The starting point is, well, you shouldn't really be able to shecht on yontif. So it involves some kind of a malacha. And af al pi chein, we say that it's okay. Why is that? So we keep on going. And he says, no one on yontif ever heard of such a wild thing that we should eat treif. Oloma l'nachri lincha ofos, the leke ala isa d'rabana d'en shechita l'of min ha-Torah. Here in this one line, Maharaj throws in a curveball, which has nothing to do with that topic per se, but just an interesting point that he makes. The reason Machlekes HaTanoim in Maseches Chulin, the second parak, where the dinim of Shechita, all the regular Hilcha Shechita that we have, you have to shecht in such and such a way, and you have to hold the knife in such and such a way, and it has to be a Jewish Shech, and all the dinim we call the Halacha Washim Mesidas of Hilcha Shechita, do those for sure apply to animals? That's no question. That's what the Torah is talking about. There's one opinion in Tanoim that says that mid araisa you don't have to shecht birds. Ain shechita la'of min ha'Torah. Ho shechita for ofos is only mid rabbanon. Mid araisa, as long as the siman of a cut, as long as you cut the either the windpipe or the food pipe, as long as you do some kind of a chetichas ha'simanim mid araisa, that's okay. If you bang the bird on the head, you shoot the bird or something, that's for sure awesome min ha'Torah. But according to one Tanoim, all the details of a shechita were only given for behemoth min ha'Torah, not for ofos. We happen not to paskin that way. We paskin that all the dinim of shechita are the same for ofos and behemoth, pretty much the same. So we pass in Yesh Chitl of Min HaTorah. But the Maharur Terug was playing the other side. He's saying, maybe the whole din of Shechita for Opus is on a Midrabanan. So Midraisa, you can just get a goy to just cut the Sibanim for you on Yantif. Lo Shemano Davazem Yom, we never heard of such a thing. Why is it that we go ahead and we shecht on Yantif, knowing full well that we, quote-unquote, have an option of eating treif, which would have been less of a Avera? So says the Maram Rutenberg, Ella, the reason is, Ella, Kevon de HaTorah Hitira Lano Echon Nefesh B'Yantif, Havala Didon Kol Ochon Nefesh B'Yantif Kuma B'Chol. Says the Maram Rutenberg, the reason why we never heard such a silly thing to tell the guy, don't shecht on Yantif, it's better to eat treif, because you're not doing anything wrong by shechting on yontif. It's hetter gomer to shecht on yontif. It's not a malacha. It's not that we have to take the attitude that it's a terrible thing to do malacha on yontif. It's so bad. Why should we shecht on yontif? Let's bend over backwards to figure out a way not to shecht on yontif. What are you talking about, says Rabbi Rosenberg? The Torah screams at us, you're allowed to shecht on yontif, you're allowed to carry on yontif, you're allowed to cook on yontif. Whatever you're doing, b'teres seichel nefesh, is as if you're doing it mamash on a Tuesday. That's the Maram Rutenberg's marshal. Have a koloch on nefesh beyond the kumah b'chol. It's like on a regular yom chol. So says the Maram Rutenberg, just as on yontif, we approach yontif by saying that it's mutal lechatchila to shecht. You don't have to start to bend over backwards to avoid it. V'hochi nami, here's the punchline for us. Kevan she'aitira Torah pikuach nefesh, since the Torah says pikuach nefesh is okay, have a kol malacha she'osa b'shabbos b'shulchol l'shesh b'sakana ki'ilu asa b'chol. So comes the Maram Rutenberg and says that when you do a malacha on Shabbos for chol l'shesh b'sakana, that's like doing it. That was the punchline, ki'ilu asa b'chol. It's like you did it on Tuesday. means it's not Shabbos for you today. Vis-a-vis the chayla, when you're in the chaspur, you're taking care of the chayla sheyesh b'sakana, it's not Shabbos, it's Tuesday today. That's what the Ma'amar of the Murug is saying. And his model, his mashal, is cooking on Yom Tov. So that's the antithesis of what Ran said. The Ran was drawing a distinction between cooking on Yom Tov and cooking for the chayla sheyesh b'sakana. The whole shtickel Torah of the Ran was that cooking on Yom Tov, that's hetagom, that's nothing to worry about, and therefore you can add more into the pot. Cooking on Shabbos for the chayla, that's terrible. That's the chuya. That's really an avera. It's not like it's chol. That's a terrible avera chol Shabbos. And therefore, nebuch, only the amount that you need, you can do. Anything extra would be aser. So whereas the Ran is trying to draw a distinction between the two, he's putting Yom Tov into the category of hutra, Shabbos into the category of the chuya, and saying they're far as part as possible. The Ma'amarut just did the exact opposite. He just took the model of Yom Tov, plugged it into Shabbos and says, well, if you're allowed a shecht for on Yom Tov without any questions, you don't have to try to avoid it. So too, when it comes to shechting for the chayla and Shabbos, you don't have to avoid it, and therefore you can shecht for some day, you don't have to worry about it. But now the Maram Mirutenberg has one loose thread to this sugya. If it's really true that B'makom Chola, it's mamash like it's Tuesday, you don't have to ask any questions. So let's turn around and ask the following question. If it's really Tuesday for the Chol Sheyesh B'Sakana, so why don't we say that the tray for meat is really kosher for the Chol Sheyesh B'Sakana? What was that, Shiloh? What is Mar Murtenberg addressing? That we're going to advocate shechting on Shabbos rather than eating the tray for food. So I don't understand. Once you're saying that Pikuach Nefesh is Hutra, once you're saying that B'Makom Chola, basically all the mitzvahs of Torah are suspended, so it's not Shabbos today. If I can say hocus pocus, that's not Shabbos. I can say hocus pocus, that's kosher food. You see that tray for salami? It's not trefus. It's mahadrin rahadrin. For the chodesh, yesh per sakara. So that's what the Ma'amar Ruth Brook has to figure out. The hei chadika trei surei machino so hakal. So now he says, when you have tray for food in front of you and shechting on Shabbos in front of you, we go for the lesser of the two evils. Ushchuta ha-maychal mutter. Aval ha-neveil ha-maychal atzba osur. Ve'ariyar vi'alo adkan. So says the Ma'amar Rutenberg, Shchit on Shabbos for the Chayla, I just told you, is mutter, it's het the gomer. Treifus for the Chayla, it's still asar. So you're not allowed to feed him the treifus. So we go 180 degree flip. We started out thinking that Shechting on Shabbos is much more serious of air than eating treif, and we would have rather given the Chayla the treif for food. So comes the Ma'amar Rutenberg and says, no. To Shecht on Shabbos, that's not an avera altogether. It's het the gomer. To give him the tray for food, that's an avera. So therefore, you can't give him the tray for food. You have to dafka Shecht on Shabbos. Adkan, the flip of the Ma'amar Rutenberg. So the question is conceptually, where is he coming from? How could he say in the same breath that Shabbos is hutra, but treifus is not? If pikuach nefesh is mater everything, so then it's not Shabbos, and it's not treif, and everything should be okay. If pikuach nefesh is dechuya, then we're back to square one. It's better to eat treif than to be mechal Shabbos. So it's obvious that the Ma'amar Rutenberg is telling us a chiddush al gabi chiddush. He's telling us a double chiddush. He's telling us that not all halachas of pikuach nefesh are created equal. Not all isurim are created equal in terms of pikuach nefesh. When it comes to Shabbos, Shabbos is hutra. When it comes to machos asuras, comes to treifus, then the din is that's only the chuya. I'm a sister Torah. Where did that secret come from? How do you know? Why should that be so? So the Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva, I don't think he was commenting on the Ma'amar Rutenberg per se, but l'chor, that shtickle Torah the Chassam Sofer invokes may be useful for this also. Chassam Sofer says, if you take a look at the end of Maseches Yuma, where the Gemara gives us the sources for Pikuach Nefesh, how do you know? Where does it say in the Chumash this idea of Pikuach Nefesh? So the Gemara comes up with a few different Mekairas for Pikuach Nefesh, and it seems to be that the two most popular, the two most critical sources are the following. One is the obvious one, V'chai Behem, V'loshi Yamos Behem, that the Gemara concludes with, V'chai Behem, V'loshi Yamos Behem. And number two is, V'shamru B'nei Yisrael Shabbos, Chalel Shabbos Achas, Kedesh Yishbo Shabbos Harbe. But the Torah says that we want you to invest in Shmir Shabbos to such a point that it's worth it to be Mechal Shabbos once in a while to get multiple Shabbos. What does that mean? If a guy has to go to the hospital on Shabbos, I'm going to say, no, I don't want to take him Abishai Shabbos, I can't take him to the hospital. So the Torah says, no, take him to the hospital. Hopefully he'll get a refuah shleima. He'll have a lifetime of Shmir Shabbos. So it's a good investment. Chalel Shabbos Achas, Kedesh Yishbo Shabbos Harbe. So two Mekairos. Either the source is V'chai Ben V'loshi Yamos Ben, and the second is V'shamu Nesu Also Shabbos. So comes Chassam Sofer and says that we need both psukim. Why do we need both psukim? Because they're fundamentally different from one another. The starting point of Pikuach Nefesh, imagine for a moment, if you only had one pasuk to teach me Pikuach Nefesh, would you in your wildest dreams say that Pikuach Nefesh is chutra? It's such a tremendous chiddush. The starting point is, you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. The starting point is, you're not allowed to eat treif. To start before the chiddush HaTorah of Pikuach Nefesh, I would have said, it's going to cost a person his life, tough. Hashem said, you can't drive on Shabbos, you can't finish. So the starting point is, you can't be Mechal Shabbos of Pikuach Nefesh. The starting point is, you can't eat treifus of Pikuach Nefesh. You can't eat it. You can't eat Chavet. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, it's also finished. You're going to die. That's the starting point. So the chiddush HaTorah is, that's not true. The Torah says, V'chayim v'lo shiyabos b'hem. So when the Torah gives us the chiddush of Pikuach Nefesh, what degree chiddush is the Torah telling us? We have a rule that you always try to minimize what the chiddush is. When the Torah introduces us the concept of Pikuach Nefesh, my initial reaction is, okay, the Torah said I could do certain things on Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh. Okay, I could eat treif, I could eat Yom Kippur for Pikuach Nefesh, but it's only begedin d'chuya. In my wildest dreams, I wouldn't have said that Pikuach Nefesh is hutra. I never would have said it's not Shabbos today. I never would have said it's not Yom Kippur today. I never would have said it's not Pesach. I never would have said it's not tray for food. I would have said it is Shabbos, it is Yom Tov, it is Yom Kippur, it is Pesach. But the Torah is saying, Nebuch, Dechuya. The Kodesh Baruch Hu says, we're going to look the other way. Go ahead and do the Malacha, go do the Yisr anyway. So the starting point is, everything's also, even Mabacha Pikuach Nefesh. The Torah starts to whittle away at that din, and starts to say, well, V'chai Ben V'loshi, Yom Kippur is Dechuya, it's okay. Now, when the Torah gives us a second chiddush called v'shamru, what do I need v'shamru for? I already have a chaybem. I already know I'm allowed to drive on Shabbos. I already know I can eat treifas. So, what's the significance of v'shamru? V'shamru teaches me a chiddush that pikuach nefesh is more than you thought it was. Pikuach nefesh is not just t'chuya. It's not that it's a chait, and I do it anyway. V'shamru teaches me this is not called chol Shabbos. It's a different. This is a new halacha. This is called hutra. The Torah says that it's het gomer, it's l'mahadrin l'hadrin, no shail about it, and not the chuya, kvetch, it's re, I have to avoid it. Hutra, v'shamru teaches us v'hutra. But says the Chassam Sofer, in what area of halacha is v'shamru written? V'shamru is not a din klali, v'shamru is not something that affects kolot terakula. V'chaybem is a din klali, v'chaybem applies to kashrus, to Pesach, to yantif, to Shabbat, applies across the board. V'shamru is a din prati, it's a localized din in Shemir Shabbos. It teaches us that in the realm of Shabbos, Shabbos is suspended for the Chayla. Kashrus is not suspended for the Chayla. Chometz for Pesach is not suspended for the Chayla. Nebuch, you're allowed to do it. It's Nebuch. What can you do? You have to clap. So, you know, figuratively, I'll chait. I'm doing an Aveira. The Torah says to do it anyway. But the Isser is not suspended. The only time we find that the Isser is suspended is like a Chol that's only on Shabbos. That's exactly across from Shabbos. So you can try to figure out why that should be so. Not for now. Says Chassam Sofer, there are two dinim of Pikuach Nefesh. Alam d'shavar, it's a priska tayim of Pikuach Nefesh. Is Pikuach Nefesh d'chuya or is Pikuach Nefesh hutra? Says Chassam Sofer, it depends which area of halach, which area of issa you're in. If you're in kolot or akula, the answer is it's only d'chuya. You only have one pasuk. If you're in Shabbos, then we have an additional pasuk. The additional pasuk v'shamu teaches us that it's a higher level of heter. It's b'taris hutra.
So if a person wants to be a chassid and then sacrificed by not eating chametz but sacrifices himself and dies, then he's a chassid. If he did it on Shabbos, then he's going against the Torah.
He's not a chassid in either case. He's a chassid shait in both cases.
But it sounds like Shabbos is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's telling you no chay b'hem. But it sounds like under
we're just saying that on Pesach, chametz and Pesach, it's not that you're allowed to risk your life. You're mechuyev to fulfill the chay b'hem even on Pesach. It's just as Petar is the Chuya. It's like imagine like this. There are some who say that Mila B'Shabbos is the Chuya. Some say that. So imagine a guy's going to say, it's the eighth day, the baby's born, it's the eighth day now, and it comes off to do the bris, the guy says, I'm too from. I don't want to do a bris on Shabbos. I want to be Machmir Chol Shabbos. So what do we say about such a guy? You're a fool. You're being Machmir Chol Shabbos. You're being Mevatel the Mitzvah Torah of doing the bris Mila. So you can be frum on your own cheshbon. You can't be frum on a Kodesh Baruch Hu's cheshbon.
So what's the al-chait on the fact that he ate chametz, he feels bad that he ate
chametz? I don't mean literally al-chait.
No, I understand, but even the...
He doesn't feel bad about it. He doesn't feel bad about it, but the chuyah means that you have to try to bend over backwards to avoid it. That's what the chuyah means. Hutra means, do whatever you want. Set it up, it's Tuesday, don't worry about it. The chuyah means you have to think a million times. I'll give you a mashal. Mashal really to bring to light the difference in the chuyah versus hutra. the famous discussion Shlomo Zalman and others had about the following shaila. Let's say a guy knows he's going to need hot water on Shabbos. He has some kind of a condition. He's got an infection. He's got to soak his foot. He's going to need very, very serious pikuach nefesh shailas. He needs hot water on Shabbos. So he puts up a lot of hot water on Friday afternoon. And now it comes Friday night, and somebody wants a cup of tea. So I'm about to take some of the hot water and make myself a cup of tea. So the chayla comes running to me and says, no, don't take away the water. Why? Because if you take away the water, you have your cup of tea. Tomorrow morning, when I need water for my foot, I'm going to have to cook up more water, and I'm going to have to do a special act of Chil Shabbos, which I otherwise could have avoided. So what is the guy wants his cup of tea. What's his response to that? So Shlomo Zalman says, you know what his response is? I want a cup of tea. With a Hakmir China. No problem. Good line. China. Good fun. With your foot. He says, I want to have my cup of tea. I'm going to drink a cup of tea. Tomorrow you're going to have to boil up water for the foot. It's mutar. What's up? Is that the grammar? What's my problem? Why should I forgo my cup of tea on Friday night? I'll have my cup of tea and you'll have hot water for your foot. You'll heat it up. Shalom Yisrael. So that's the famous psach from Shalom Azam. And others disagreed with Shalom Azam. Others said, no, what do you mean? I'm going to be so selfish and take my cup of tea now, knowing full well that I'm forcing another Jew to rely on heter pikuach nefesh. That's not right. To which Rosh Hashanah said, what do you mean rely on the heter pikuach nefesh? What? I'm enabling him to do what he's supposed to be doing. He's allowed to cook the water on Shabbos. Heter gomer. So others said, no, it's not heter gomer. He's supposed to bend over backwards to avoid it. How dare you have your cup of tea, knowing that that's going to result down the line in 12 hours from now to making another guy cook on Shabbos b'chol pikuach nefesh. So that nafkamina levina mamish illustrates this question: how much you have to bend over backwards. Everyone agrees you have to do it. Nobody says you're allowed to volunteer. Say no, the guy's dying with a heart. I'm going to be machmir. I want to be an extra from and not to rely on pikuach nefesh. You're not allowed to do that. But the question is when you are relying on pikuach nefesh, is it big Torah? Is the chuyus b'torah sutra? So I call upon him this idea that Chassam Sofer has in terms of analyzing the psukim. This seems to be what Maharam Rutenberg is saying. Whether the Maharam Rutenberg derived this from those psukim of Chassam Sofer, I can't tell you. But in the Lomdus is the same. That the Maharam Rutenberg is telling us that not all dinim of pikuach nefesh are the same. Shabbos is b'taras hutra, kol tarkula is b'taras dechuya, and therefore if you have a choice between the two, you have to opt for Shabbos rather than other things.
Can't you say that when it comes to kashrus, that it's a numbers game also, because every kazai
should be... Oh, very good, because you're mechavin to other pshat. So other rishayim will say that Shabbos is fundamentally less of a serious aveira than kashrus. Why is that? Even though one act of Chil Shabbos is measured against one act of treifus, so Shabbos wins hands down. Shabbos is for sure more chomer. But as you say correctly, some Bisharim say Shabbos and Kashrus are only the same in terms of that they're both Yisurim in the Torah. But Kashrus involves a lot more quantitative Yisurim. I'm going to eat my piece of chazer. I'm going to eat one kezayis and another kezayis. I'm going to eat five kezayisim. So it's five different aveiras. Whereas when it comes to Shabbos, it's one quick act, one shechit, and finished. So that's a very, very lomdish question. How do you measure what's considered to be a more serious aveira? On the one hand, we try to minimize aveiras for pikuach nefesh. That was the goal. That was the premise of the Rishon's question. Let's try to minimize the aveira. What's called the minimized aveira? Is one very, very serious aveira more serious than five somewhat minimum aveiras or not? Do we say that we measure aveiras in terms of mere quality of the aveira? Or does quantity come into the equation as well? Perhaps what I'm lacking in the quality of the aveira, I can make up in terms of the quantity. So the Rishon LeZion will give that answer. So Rabbeinu Yonah in Sefer Shari Tshuva invokes that model, a little bit of a different area of halacha, in terms of the mitzvah of tshuva. The Gemara tells us at the end of Masechet Yuma that different aveiras require different levels of kapara, different baruch hu kapara. There are mitzvahs asay, and there are mitzvahs los asay, and there's los asheish bakareis, and there's chul Hashem. There are different dagas, different degrees of chait, and the different mechanisms of kapara that are necessary to mechap of those different aveiras. So the Gemara, when the Gemara divides up the different levels of aveiras, the Gemara divides them according to the chumras haonesh. So losase, which gets malchus, is not as serious as losase that gets kares. So says the Rabbeinu Yonah, b'med devar mamurim, that's true. That's if you're measuring one-on-one. But let's say you have an aveira that per se is an isakal, but you did it 100 times. So says Rabbeinu Yonah, when you do something 100 times, so that what you're lacking in terms of the quality, you make up in terms of quantity, and now you need the higher level of kapara for that aveira. that Rabbeinu Yonah is a very, very scary thought. Because, you know, we think in the back of our minds when we do tshuva and Yom Kippur, all right, they're all those sesekals. I mean, who here was Michal Shabbos Deraisa? I mean, who here violated of Rezara? Who here was Eit Chalev? We don't do those kinds of things. Doing those kinds of things. What are we doing? So, what am I? A little Lashon Hara here and there. It's only a low sesekal. There's no Malkus even. There's no Ikarish for it. No Misa for it. Not so bad. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, not so bad. If you would have said one word of Lashon Hara, we would have said, okay, it's a low sesekal. But you have 1,000 words of Lashon Hara. The 1,000 words of Lashon Hara is as bad as one act of Chol Shabbos. And we don't know the numbers game. Only the Rebbe Shalom knows. The Rambam writes the Cheshuva. Only the Rebbe Shalom knows how to be shoka properly. One mitzvah can make another mitzvah. But it's a little bit of a scary thought that emanates from this sugya. So the same idea that somebody should say in the world of Chil Shabbos of Pikuch Nefesh, Rabbi Yonah says in the world of Tshuva as well. So this psak of the Maharam of Ruttenberg is accepted by everybody, by most of the Rishonim, that in fact we do opt to do Chilul Shabbos rather than eat the treifas, but the reason why he gave the psak is not agreed upon. Many Rishonim disagree with the reason, and the Rush himself writes another reason. The last line of the Rush writes, I think my Rebbe is right for a different reason. Says the Rush, there's a very practical reason why we should paskin like the Maharam of Ruttenberg. Namely, we'll shech the meat and not give him the treifas. Nothing to do with the lumdus of the Chuyin Hutra. It has to do with pure psychology, says the Rashi. He heard that there are others who suggested if you give the Chayla the Chazer to eat, you know what's going to happen? He's going to be so disgusted by eating the Chazer, eating the Nevelas of the treifas, he's going to throw up. He'll be in a worse medical condition than he was before. So therefore, we say to him, listen, don't worry. We'll shech for you. We'll get you kosher food, Mahadrin and Mahadrin. It was shechted on Shabbat. Don't worry about it. It's okay. Ah, when he sits down to eat the steak, at least he knows it's kosher. Ah, it entailed violating this askila. That was a shekhah's problem, wasn't his problem. So psychologically, the chayla is thinking, let me eat kosher food, no matter what the cost is, literally what the cost is, what the price is, I'd rather eat the kosher food. I at least the chil shabbos, don't worry about it. So I'll quote on him, what we accomplished from this whole discussion of the Maharam, is that we saw that which the Ran was so sure about, the Ran was so convinced that that Shabbos is different than Yontif. Shabbos is the Chuya, and Yontif, Kukan Yontif is Hutra, and that explains why Reb Shurin is also in one place and it's Mutra in the other place. Clearly the Maharam Ruttenberg would never have said such a thing. The Maharam Ruttenberg is the one who equates the two. That's what he said. This whole model, this whole marshal was, just as you're allowed to cook on Yontif, you're allowed to shecht on Yontif, and you don't have to ask questions, you don't have to get treifas, so too you're allowed to shecht on Shabbos for the Chol HaShesh B'Sukkot. So we're at, if I was drawing, if I had a blackboard here, I would have, the Maharam Ruttenberg has an equation on the board. Cooking on Shabbos for a Chayla is like cooking on Yontif. That's an ironclad equation. Hutra, hutra. Whereas the Ran says no. The Ran says that cooking on Shabbos for a chayla, shechting on Shabbos for a chayla would be dechuya, whereas cooking or shechting on Yontif is hutra. So the Maharam Ruttenberg is equating the two. The Ran is drawing is distinguishing between the two. How does the Rashba fit into this picture? Remember the Rashba on Wednesday, he was the one who disagreed with the Ran. He was the one who refused to go that route of dechuya versus hutra. He said Shabbos and Yontif are fundamentally the same. If they're fundamentally the same, the only difference is only on the level of the Rabbanan, how would he weigh in on this Maharam Ruttenberg? So l'chora, but the Rashba would say, if the Rashba is saying that they're fundamentally the same, it sounds like he's calling them both Hutra. That's what we would have thought. We would right away put the Rashba into the Maharam Ruttenberg camp. That it must be that he holds like the Maharam Ruttenberg, that everything is Begadir Hutra. That's what I would have said. The problem is that the Rashba himself doesn't say that. The Rashba, the Tshuva, actually quotes the Maharam Ruttenberg and says it's not true. And says that the core Pikuach Nefesh at Shabbos Hutra is not correct. He doesn't quote the Rambam by name. He quotes it as follows. Just a background historically, the Rashba was the Rav in Barcelona in Spain. And the Rosh had to run away from Germany. The Rosh was the Talmud of Maharam Ruttenberg. When the Maharam Ruttenberg was thrown into jail, so the Rush realized that he's going to be next on the Goyim's hit list, so he ran away and he runs to Spain and he meets the Rashba. The Rashba sets him up in a shtetl in Toledo, in the smaller Jewish community at the time. So the Rashba and the Rush then became a college, became friends. So the Rashba writes in a tshuva that the Chocham Echad me Ashkenaz Boilai, a certain Chocham from Germany came, he's referring to the Rush, and he told me this pshat of the Maharam Ruttenberg, obviously the Rosh would be the one to know it, but he's the one who quotes it over here. So the Rosh quotes that this anonymous German rabbi told me this pshat from his anonymous Rebbe, and the Rosh says, I don't think it's right. He quotes the Bamer, he's Bamer's quote the Rosh, and I don't think it's right. So we can't pin the Shittas Maram onto the Rashba. What did the Rashba hold? The Rashba held they're both the same. Maybe the Rashba held that they're both Bechuya. But to say they're both Hutra, the Rashba says no. The Rashba says Pekuach Nefesh and Shabbos is not Hutra. It is Bechuya. Does that mean that the Rashba held that Echol Nefesh and Yadav is also Bechuya? That was somewhat of an unpopular pshat. We didn't like that so much on Wednesday. I don't know. You have to figure that out a little bit more. But one thing I can tell you is that the Rashba is not identical with the Bamer of the Merk. So when all the dust settles, we have a major machlekes we showed back to earlier in the week between the Rashba and the Ran. What is the answer to the discrepancy between Shabbos and Yontif in terms of being Riva B'Shirin? According to the Ran's Yesod, it's based on the Chuyah versus Hutra. We saw that there are clearly Bishon who won't buy into that. Ram Rutberg will not buy into that. He was the one who put the two together. So he obviously couldn't accept the Ran's Lamdos. So we're back really to our original question. What is the status of Riva B'Shirin? Is Riva B'Shirin something that Minat Torah is always Mutter, Ben B'Shabbos, Ben B'Yontif? Any Yisur are worse than Rabbanon? Or do I say no? Riva B'Shirin on Yontif is Mutter. Riva B'Shirin on Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh is actually an Issa D'Araisa. So that major machloek is still standing. A lot of sugyas flying around based on that, but the basic lumpus of the sugya stands. And now, hopefully, Mitzvah next week, we have to take that to the next level to see how this plays out. This machloek is the Rashi and the Ran. You're going to play out in terms of a fundamental machloek. I don't understand the whole series of Gemaras and Erevin with some very, very important halachah ma'aseh ramifications.